Well, the blessing of peace be on you as we come to God's Word. This might be a long sermon, because I've got a year and a half worth of sermon just bursting to get out, so I hope you've brought your sandwiches. It won't be, don't worry, it won't be any longer than usual. But let's turn to Matthew 4 and to the third and the fourth verse there of Matthew 4. So we're familiar with Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and one of the temptations is recorded here in verses 3 and 4. The tempter came to Jesus, it says, and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Of course, Jesus was hungry after those 40 days in the wilderness. "So make some bread for yourself if you're the Son of God." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's saying it's not just other people that do this. He's saying this is what I'm doing as well at the moment. I'm living by the word of God. So I don't just please myself. And that's why I don't use my power to make stones into bread. I'm living by the word of God. And that's what everyone must do, says Jesus. But in order to live by the word of God, you and I have got to hear the word of God. We're living in a society just now that is losing its confidence and losing its direction. People are looking for truth. They're looking for authority. They're looking for what can be trusted and what can be relied upon. But a lot of the time, people just don't really know where to look. They don't know how to listen. And there are so many voices clamoring to be heard that it's a confused and despairing society for many people. I think Christians themselves in this time of pandemic, when they have perhaps been unplugged from their usual spiritual nurture in fellowship, personal fellowship with other people, have been prone to losing touch with God as well. And at the same time, because they could still access all the different media that are available to us on television and through the internet and through social media and so on, we are inclined to be taken in by the values of our society. And as we are taken in by the values of society, we can then begin to doubt what God says. And it's a bit like the old story, really, because that is where we begin, way back in Genesis 3, with the tempter casting doubt on God's word. And he's been doing it ever since. And so we shouldn't be surprised if we find that happening in our society today. And we're even finding it happening here where Jesus is in the wilderness. Verse 3, the devil doesn't say, "Since you're the Son of God." He says, "If you're the Son of God." Well, he knows perfectly well that Jesus is the Son of God. If Jesus wasn't the Son of God, he would tell him so. But what he's trying to do is sow doubt in the mind of Jesus. I mean, the devil has a cheek. He's got no respect for any person. And if he's not got respect for Jesus, he's certainly not going to have respect for you or for me. So don't be surprised if there are whispering voices of various kinds from various directions in your life that are saying, you know, if God really has forgiven your sins, or if there is a God, or just really basic things being questioned that you need to rely upon in order to have confidence, in order to have peace, it's just the same old story being repeated that we see here and that we see even in the Garden of Eden. It's nothing new. Doubt is being sown, and in place of what we should be doing, something else is being told us to do. So tell these stones to become bread. So we will be told to believe something else and to act in a different way and to set aside the values of our Christian faith, to set aside the values even that have underpinned our society in the past, and to adopt new values and new activities and new ways of behaving. It's happened all through history, and it's certainly happened in the pandemic. When I read this verse that Jesus quotes in response in verse 4, man does not live on bread alone, whenever I read this verse, I'm always taken back to my first trip to Hungary. And we went up to this little village in the north of Hungary and stayed with a pastor of a Reformed Hungarian church in a little village called Heitze. And certainly I did, and one or two others slept in a kind of outbuilding of what was really quite an extensive manse, if you like, and outhouses and so on. But the pastor had turned this outbuilding into what was ostensibly an agricultural museum. So we were sleeping among all these old implements from past agricultural activity in that part of Hungary, and it was fascinating, fascinating to see. But of course, this was just at the end of communism, and so you weren't allowed really to proclaim the word of God. But the pastor was a crafty fellow. He was called Papa Victor. Papa Victor had 17 children, so he'd certainly earned the title of Papa. But Papa Victor was an amazing man, and he used this agricultural museum as a means of spreading God's word. And just over where I was sleeping was, in Hungarian, the words, man shall not live by bread alone. Nemchok, Kenyurel, Elozember. I'll never forget that. It was impressed in me. And there was an agricultural instrument or implement beside it, I can't actually remember what it was, that related to the making of bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. And all round the museum, he'd put texts from the Bible with the different implements and the different tools, just as though to say, you know, this is a museum, but, you know, I want God to be heard here. I want God to speak here. I know it's a communist time, and the communists are trying to silence God and turn everything to the grey of concrete and the bleakness of atheism. But God is still speaking, and I want his word to be heard. And man shall not live by the bread of communism alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So even in a time when, like in Papa Victor's time, the word of God is being silenced, or the attempt is being made to silence it, God's still speaking. The question then for you and me is, in this time when there are so many other voices and it's so easy to lose our attunement to the voice of God, are we still hearing from God today? Well, how might we hear from God? How might God speak to you or to me today, even this day, this very day? Well, there are actually lots of ways that God speaks, and I'll just take you through some of them very quickly. As we sang, or no, we didn't actually sing this bit of Psalm 19, but the heavens declare the glory of God. God speaks through his creation. Paul says in Romans 1 that what the creation speaks in a plain way about God, about his eternal power and his Godhead. Paul and Barnabas in the city of Lystra in Acts chapter 14 say that God shows his goodness in providing food and filling your hearts with joy, he says. He provides fruitful seasons and rain and so on. God speaks through the creation. And sometimes you just need to really look out for that, like the golden eagle. I found in the last year and a half, there were many times or there was periods where I just couldn't read. I couldn't read at all. Couldn't concentrate. Couldn't do it. So I couldn't read the Bible. And I loved being outside. I just loved being outside. It was the place where I found the most consolation. I'm not quite sure why that is, but having thought about it, I think it's because when I was outside and I could hear the wind in the trees or see the primroses in springtime or see the golden eagles or the great tits or whatever it was that were on the go, then I was just getting a little touch from God, a little voice from God, and I needed that. And it comforted me. And I'm sure for yourselves, you know what I mean. We're always told how good it is to get outside if we can. And people tell us that even if they've got no faith of their own, but perhaps what they don't realise is it's God's presence that they're really seeking. And he's there in his creation. Secondly, he's there in you and me. He's there in the image that he has put upon each human being of himself. We are people with minds and emotions, and we're capable of beautiful things and good things, and we're capable of relating. We're capable of understanding the difference between right and wrong. And all of these things speak of the God who has made us and can speak to one another of that God too. Our conscience is a voice from God as well. Conscience, of course, it may be kind of broken down in many ways. It may not work very well, but we still have a basic sense of what is right and what is wrong. Again, Paul speaks about that in Romans 1 and 2, where even the Gentiles, he says, who've never read a Bible, he says, the requirements of the law are written upon their hearts. Their consciences bear witness, he says. So even the conscience is a kind of voice from God telling us what's good and what's not. But there are some things that haven't been so easy to get, like Christian fellowship at this time. But that can also provide a great comfort of God's voice to one another when we get together. And we can do that, of course, online as well. Christian fellowship, Jesus promises to be there when his people gather. Even when two gather or three gather, he says he'll be with us. So inner fellowship, as we get together with others, it gives us a chance to hear the voice of God. And sometimes that will be on the lips of someone else. Sometimes we can speak God's words to someone else without even realizing we're doing it sometimes. And they'll be helped and encouraged. Another way God speaks is in what's called providence. Providence being the way God governs the world and how he makes things fall out for people in different ways, what he brings into our lives, and also the way he looks after us and provides for us. He's always at work. And as Paul wrote, all things work for good for those who love him. So we can look for God in the detail of our lives and what's happening too. But the final way that I can mention briefly that God's speaking to you and me is, of course, through the Bible. All scripture, Paul writes, is God breathed. It's like a wind blowing out from God. There are different kinds of winds, of course. We've experienced winds from the Arctic recently. And we've experienced winds from the Azores. Remember New Year's Day, how mild it was. Well, God's word is like a wind from the Azores. It's like a balmy and refreshing and life-giving, comforting wind that breathes into our lives. Of course, we've got to try and read it if we can. And even if we can't read it, there are ways we can access it. Maybe we can listen to it being read, get someone to read it to us or whatever. But it's a breath from God. So we're not without the word of God today. We're not without opportunities to hear God speak. Sometimes, though, we're not hearing. Sometimes we're just not actually, despite all the different ways God is speaking, we just miss it. We somehow miss it. And there are lots of reasons for that too. Let me just go through one or two of them. It may be just that our attention's elsewhere. We're not listening to God. And maybe our attention is willfully elsewhere. Where's your attention right this moment? What are you thinking about? Maybe I caught someone there. Because I know when I'm sitting in the pew sometimes, you know, preacher will say something and I'll go off and I'll be on the other side of the world. Because we're human. But if that's willful, if it's like, I don't want to hear that, yeah, that's a different thing. Sometimes we can't hear God's voice just because we're deaf. Deaf in the sense of being somehow unable to let him speak to us. Now that can happen perhaps through trauma, through emotional damage, some experience in our lives where we just can't let God speak to us anymore. We don't want to hear his voice. If he let that happen to me, I don't want to hear from him. You know, that kind of approach. We get angry with God, or we feel too guilty to want to hear from God. And again, when it's like that, we've got to try and overcome that. I mean, God's speaking to me right now about that kind of thing. Like, I wonder, why did I not hear more from God when I was so ill? And maybe this is an issue for me, you know, just that there are things in my life that still need to be dealt with so I can hear him better. One of those he was pointing out was like self-righteousness, how sometimes we, if bad things are happening to us, we're almost saying to God, how can you let this happen to me? I don't deserve this. And we have to get rid of that thinking completely, because that's a complete barrier to God speaking to us. Because, well, actually we do deserve this. Sin does deserve separation from God. Self-righteousness can get in the way too. There's lots of things we could develop on this, but another thing is, just in our society today, God's voice can be just drowned out. There are lots and lots and lots of voices on the go just now, and they can drown out God's voice. I mean, just think about yourself. What are you listening to in your life? Who gets to speak into your life? Well, there's your family, your friends, your neighbours, your community, and there's perhaps the news, and there's different programs that you watch, and then you widen it out, and there's the different media that you have on your phone, and perhaps particular interests that you pursue, and so on. And there's lots and lots and lots of voices. And do you feel the pressure to keep up with them? What are they saying now? What's happening now? You know, did they win that match? You know, what's the latest film that's coming out, and so on? Do you feel that kind of pressure to keep up? Because a lot of people do. Are you able to sit still without feeling you've got to go and look at your phone? Without feeling you've got to pick up something to distract you? Can you sit still? I'm enjoying sitting still just now. but that's for a different reason. With kidney disease, I couldn't sit still. All the time, I was scratching. All the time, my legs were jumping about. I couldn't sit still. And sometimes I find myself just sitting and absolutely enjoying being able to sit still. What a wonderful thing that is. And to be able to sit still in your mind is an even greater thing, where you don't need to listen to the next thing and find out what's happening there and allow yourself to be distracted, but to listen so that God can speak into your life and not be drowned out. I suppose sometimes we can't hear God's voice because He speaks in ways we don't expect. Remember Elijah, and there was the earthquake, and there was the wind, and so on. And then it says there was a still, small voice. And that's where God was speaking. And we need to tune in to that. Sometimes it's very quiet. Sometimes it is just like, as I said, an eagle in the sky. Sometimes it's just like, instead of just going straight from your car to your house on a starry night, stop and look up. And just reflect on what's going on there. That star that's twinkling at you is incredibly far away from you. And God's up there just as He is down here. Let it speak to you. Let a friend's kindness speak to you. Let your conscience speak to you. Pray for sensitivity so that you can hear God, so you can tune into God. Sometimes it's the hard things that are voices. What's the pandemic saying to you and to the world? God always speaks. He's never quiet. This word that Jesus speaks about here, this word that comes from the mouth of God, it's continually coming. But there are other voices, like the voice in verse 3, if you're the Son of God. Are we not glad that Jesus did not obey that voice? If Jesus had obeyed Satan's voice, He'd have become unfit to be our Saviour because He'd have put Himself first. And He would be unable to be the Saviour of others because He would have sinned by not following the Word of God. Satan wanted Jesus not to be our Saviour. That's what's going on here. He wanted you to go to God with your sins and be condemned by God. But Jesus shows us how to listen to God and to do what God says. And because of that, He was able to offer Himself for our sins. Praise the Lord that He listened to God. Despite all the other voices that were going on around Him, Satan's voice included. Let's be like Jesus. We need to hear from God because the other voices are not so good. The other voices can wreck your life. A few years ago I read Daphne du Maurier's novel Jamaica Inn. It's based in Cornwall, as you probably know, and it's about gangs of wreckers who would go down to the cliffs over the sea with lanterns and signal to passing ships. And I don't quite understand how it worked, but the passing ships would be lured by those lanterns onto the rocks. And when the ships were wrecked, and often the crews were lost in the sea, the wreckers would go down and plunder the ships for their own gain. That's the kind of thing that Satan's trying to do here. He's trying to lure Jesus onto the rocks, but his light is a deceptive one. And it's just as well Jesus knew which light to follow and which light not to. And we need to do the same. We need to stick with the Word of God. God's Word is the true light that brings people safe, not onto the rocks, but to the harbour. It's the true light. Someone recently gave me a book of poetry by the Gaelic scholar Donald Meek. And there's lots and lots of poems based on Tyree, which is where he is from. And one of them is about the Skerrybore Lighthouse. And I'll just read you a little bit of it. The mariner who's sailing to the west of far Tyree will see your tower rising above the wildest sea. Your lantern crowns your courses, caps rows of curving stone, and flashes out its warnings with timings of its own. In a world of storm and trouble, as oceans roar and foam, you stand out there regardless to guide each sailor home. And in an age of wreckers, you state with certain tone that every life is precious, each sinew and each bone. I look across and marvel as I see you like a pin upon the far horizon as the night is closing in and as the darkness settles and your beam lights up the sky. I bless the men who built you. Their name will never die. And today, let each one of us bless the God who built, if you like, the word that we have in the Bible and who gives to us the words that we have in creation, in conscience, in Christian fellowship, in his providence, all about us. God is speaking, and we need to tune into that. We need to listen to his word, because in an age of wreckers, his word is a lighthouse, shining a beam out to your life and to mine, to bring us to this Jesus who stayed faithful to God when there were many other voices he might have followed, and because of that became our Saviour, died for our sins, is risen from the dead, and is at God's right hand on our behalf today. Let's pray for a moment together. So Lord, we thank you for your word. Please help us today to tune into its beautiful notes, its precious teaching, its wonderful invitations, its gracious promises, its warnings, and how it speaks out of your heart. Help us to see that heart, to understand what is there, that you are gentle and lowly in heart, and in you we will find rest for our souls. So bless us now as we go from here. And thank you, Lord. I thank you so much for this moment to be here with dear, dear people, dear friends, and pray for your grace and blessing upon them and the whole congregation and also the community to which we belong. Forgive our sins, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.